This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
This is Bet the W. I'm Danielle Albari. Happy to be back and thrilled to let you know that Calvin Wetzel is also back this week to break down all of the Wednesday action. So four W games going on Wednesday, and he'll also be here to break down the large Friday slate this week. So normally we see more games on Tuesdays and Thursdays for the W. This week, of course, holiday week. We're seeing a lot more action on Wednesday and Friday. Also, because it was a holiday week, we recorded on July 4th and unfortunately had to record before the lines came out. But fortunately, as I'm recording this intro for y'all now, see the lines, they are out and they're very much in line with what Calvin and I were thinking. So everything checks out as expected. And before we get into the Wednesday breakdowns, I want to take a step back and recap all the action that went on Sunday. So Sunday, the Dallas Wings were at home. They beat the Mystics by 17, which probably sounds really exciting if you are a Dallas fan, or a little bit worrisome if you're a Mystics fan. But in case you forgot, the Mystics had to play without Elena Deladon and Shakira Austin. EDD dealing with an ankle injury, TBD on when she'll be back. And Shakira Austin out for at least 3 weeks as of last week with a hip injury, a hip strain. That said, the Mystics were involved in another juicy piece of news that went down on July 4th. The Mystics trading Amanda Zaibe to the Indiana Fever for Queen Egbo, the 2022 number 10 overall pick. That was via Kareem Copeland from the Washington Post. He also gave some more context later in the day that Egbo was basically buried behind Aaliyah Boston, not getting much playing time. And the Mystics now get her on her rookie deal, second year, and a team option for the fourth year. And of course, pointed out that with Shakira Austin still out, this will give the Mystics a little bit more help in the paint, or as Kareem put it, a young athletic rebounder with upside, which nails Queen Egbo to a T. So, huge swing for the Mystics here to grab this. I think this is going to be a great pickup for them. And once Shakira Austin is back, should be good things. Alfred Coriette from her hoop stats also pointed out that the Mystics now have a long-term front court presence with not only Shakira Austin, but also Queen Egbo. Not to mention cap space this offseason and two 2025 first round picks. Huge swing here. Again, still dealing with the Shakira Austin EDD injuries, but outside of that, things to keep an eye on. Also, they brought in some hardship contracts and then also terminated them. So maybe that is a little nod, a little bit of positivity towards getting EDD back out there sooner rather than later. Back to Dallas now. Dallas is going to play at Vegas on Wednesday. The Wings, I would give them a little credit. I guess they would be about 10.5 point favorites here. And Calvin Wetzel, as you'll hear in our breakdown, quickly reminded me that the Aces are at home and they need to be at least double-digit favorites here. And as the line opens, Aces minus 13.5 is the number. Total of 173.5, which is about 5 points higher than what I thought we would see. But not shocking because, again, Dallas is very much an over team, as are the Aces. That said, teams that we know very openly, the books know, are over teams, don't necessarily always hit those overs because a lot is expected, right? The number is a little bit inflated. So something to keep in mind here. 173.5, I think, is too rich for my blood. I don't feel as strongly about this. As you guys maybe know, if you've been following the show, I'm not a consistent over bettor. I will find any excuse not to bet an over. And if I'm at all not sure about it, I just won't go for it. I'd rather bet an under when the option presents itself. Dallas is not a team I can bet a ton of unders with, despite the fact that actually they've had four unders in their last five games. The Aces, meanwhile, have been covering these big spreads. They've been favored by double digits in 13 of their last 16 games this season. They covered 7 out of those 13, and they are 6-3 against the spread as a double-digit favorite at home. So even those double digits they are covering at home, it's really hard to bet against this Aces team right now. And as Calvin and I will break down, maybe there's more of a live opportunity. The Atlanta Dream also played on Sunday. They smashed the Sparks 112-84. The Dream were at home on Wednesday. They will be in LA. And this opened as a pick 'em. I guessed the Sparks would be favored by 1.5. A little bit of home court going on there, but we need to know what the status is of Jordan Canada. Outside of that, Calvin and I will get into it more. The total for this one, 169, which was, again, 5 points higher than I was expecting. Lots of high totals for this Wednesday slate, but 169, not surprising after that huge game we saw on Sunday. Again, 112-84, the Dream won that one. Can the Sparks keep it a little bit closer? Not feeling super optimistic about that because they are 7-9-1 against the spread overall this season, but they've only covered 3 of their last 10 games. The Sky also played on Sunday. They're not playing Wednesday, but the Fever are. The Sky beat the Fever by 2 on the road. The Fever are at the Lynx on Wednesday. So a little bit of opportunity to get things back on track. I believe that was the Fever's 4th consecutive loss and 2nd failed attempt to cover in their last 2. I guess that this would be Lynx favored by 2.5 because since Diamond Miller's return, I have seen good things from the Lynx. They are still not a good team relative to the rest of the league, but as far as covering goes, this has inserted a much-needed offensive boost and just smoothness to this offense. So with the Diamond Miller return, I thought the Lynx would be favored here. This opened as a pick'em. Now, it might move that direction where the Lynx are favored at home, as I think they should be. But in the meantime, absolutely love the Lynx in this spot. Even though I do think the Fever are going to figure this out, these 2 games, they just have not been able to figure out how to get Aliyah Boston going again. Or maybe they're choosing not to. But either way, I like how this Lynx team has been looking. And you're getting them at a pick'em. Total of 163 at open. I guessed 162.5. At least that total was close. The last time these teams played was June 9th in Minnesota. The Lynx lost by 2 and failed to cover as 3-point favorites. So maybe they right the ship here. And finally, the Liberty on Sunday were on the road. They beat the Storm by 15. And now they will host the Mercury on Wednesday. The lowly Mercury, the poor Mercury. And I guess that New York would be favored by 13.5. The line, 12.5. So books giving Mercury a little bit more credit than I am, apparently. And total, 163.5. I guess 162.5. Right on par with what we were thinking. Last time these teams played was on June 18th in New York. The Liberty won by 18 and covered as 15-point favorites. Weirdly enough, the Liberty have also been covering these double-digit spreads. Not frequently. I think they're 3-2 against the spread when they're a double digit favorite, but still it doesn't really point one way or the other where it's like, oh, they're never covering these giant spreads. These are just hard to bet, especially when you have a second place team in the league versus the last place team. Maybe there's a better opportunity for betting this live, but we can get into all of that when we listen to Calvin's in my discussion. If you haven't yet, please follow Bet the W Show on Twitter. We always appreciate that. And if you listen to the podcast version, rating the pod would be a huge help as well. Any comments you guys leave, we really appreciate. So thank you for the support. And finally, the long-awaited return of Calvin Wetzel. Calvin, you were on vacation. I was on vacation. How have you been?
I've been great. Yeah, I'm glad we both got to go on vacation. I know we were talking a little bit that we both had to get some bets down and watch a little bit of WNBA on vacation, but also got to relax and get away a little bit, but really pumped to be back on here with you.
Was anybody tweeting at you during vacation? Because I got a couple of those and I thought, man, no rest for the wicked, right?
I definitely get some of those. Yeah, sometimes I don't see them until after because I'm not like checking in on Twitter
locked
as much
in,
when I'm, you know, because it's vacation and I'll check in.
I did avoid Twitter. I will say that. I watched the games. I bet a little. I did avoid Twitter pretty rigorously.
I did too. By the time I checked in, some of the games were already over and they were like, would you play this? I'm like, yeah, sorry. I hope, you know, if it won, I hope you played it. If it lost, I hope you didn't. What can I tell you?
We're only human, but we're back. We're back for the rest of the season. We took our All-Star break a little bit early, but we have the actual All-Star break coming up, obviously. And we're recording on July 4th, so really taking no breaks, no days off to preview these July 5th games. But any July 4th traditions for you, Calvin? I know that we both saw that Dano Mattia tweeted out his WNBA tiers, which are endlessly entertaining. But one of them on there, he kind of pointed out that he's not super into fireworks. And I'm with him here. What do you think? Fireworks, yes or no?
Yeah, I always thought that was a little bit of like a hot take or controversial take to not really love fireworks. But all of a sudden, it feels like maybe actually everyone feels that way. So, but I'm with you. I'm with Dano. They're very overhyped. I feel like we talked about this all very too. Bad for the environment, bad for dogs. There's just like a lot of things that cost less money that are way cooler and more good for everyone than fireworks.
Yeah, and it sounds like unpatriotic or not fun to not like them, but I just think, there's so many other ways we can celebrate that maybe aren't as bad for the environment. And more importantly, like, love the doggos, and I feel bad for all my friends' doggos who get really scared from all these fireworks. And also, frankly, people. I see people stopping when they hear some random fireworks going off on July 3rd. So anyways, hoping that we're going to see some fireworks on July 5th when we have these 4 WNBA games. I know that we might have a high score here. Wings at Aces, perhaps, have my eye on. But we'll look at the earlier games first. Let's start with the Phoenix Mercury at the New York Liberty. We don't have a line just yet. I think this is going to be Liberty at least 13.5. Am I being too generous, not generous enough?
No, it's got to be at least that. I agree with you. I don't think we see, you know, outside of the Aces and maybe like the Sun or Mystics, I don't see we see any single digit spreads for the Liberty at home. And when you're talking about the bottom tier, so the Storm, the Mercury, obviously in this game, those teams that are going to be lotto teams, it really should be at least in the mid teens. So I might even take 13.5 if we get that, especially, you know, the Liberty not coming off a loss, but two games ago, they still have that in their mind. When they lose, they go on a run the next few games, and they got beat down pretty bad by the Aces two games ago. So the Mercury are also just, I mean, against anyone other than the Fever, they just don't look good.
What is that? What is that?
I don't know why they play the Fever so well, but against any other team in the league, they don't have it. So yeah, definitely Liberty.
Yeah, I also didn't get to get your reaction to them letting go Coach Nygaard and how you think that might impact the Mercury moving forward. Is that a good sign for them, or is this still looking like we're going to miss playoffs?
They're definitely still going to miss the playoffs. I was confused, though. I was very confused by the move because it felt like things were setting up very nicely for them to tank to, you know, no one's going to say it, but we all know that
the T word.
The T word is coming, especially in the next two drafts. This isn't the Charlie Collier draft. This draft and the next draft are the Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Cameron Brink drafts. You want to get those picks. And with super teams at the top, it's not like if you sneak into the 8 seed, you're going to make any noise in the playoffs anyway. So I thought, why not let Vanessa Nygaard ride it out, go into the lotto, and you know, fire her at the end of the season. But they did what they did. I guess maybe Nikki Blue gets some good head coaching experience now, so good for her. We'll see how she looks next year if she gets a lottery pick, but it's not happening for them this year.
And any thoughts on Skylar Diggins-Smith? I don't think we see her, for sure.
I don't think so either, because again, what's the point at this point? Yeah. Like, you're coming back to try to go all in just to snag an 8 seed where you're going to get blasted two straight games by the Aces? Like, just take the 10 or 11 seed.
Where would you like to see Skylar end up? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I haven't really thought about it. I mean, at this stage in her career, I'd love to see her on a contender, which even if she came back right now as good as she is, I still think she would currently not be on the Mercury. So I'd love to see her with a chance to make some noise and make a deep run on some team. But where that is, I don't know, because you look at the two super teams right now, it's not like they have space for her. So you're really talking about maybe some sort of above average team that maybe she could put them over the top. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not an expert on the cap stuff, so I couldn't tell you where she fits in that way. But I just want to see her get some wins.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I would love to see her on, like you said, not necessarily a super team, but maybe make another team into a super team, like a Mystics or a Sun situation. And gosh knows they both need her offense. One thing I want to point out about New York that's very troublesome to me, 9th in turnover percentage right now. Are you worried about that at all? Do you think that's affecting them?
I'm not, because they're first on both sides of the ball in assist rate by a lot. I want to say they're on pace for the record on offense in assist rate. So
shout out Sloot.
Combine exactly. And you know, Sabrina, who basically was a point guard until this year, when you look at the assist turnover, like, it's still a solid ratio. They just pass the ball and move the ball so much, like, they're going to turn it over more. It's how it is. But I think that's just how their offense goes. I wouldn't really be too concerned about that.
Yeah, I would have to look the way of the Liberty here at home, but this huge number, I'm not super interested in laying. This would be more of a look for a live, even though I don't know that you'll get that opportunity here, because the Mercury, as we know, very much a bottom tier team, if not the last place team for us. Total wise, again, we don't have the exact numbers yet, but I mean, I could see this going under if it's in the 165, 163.5 range, just because I don't know how much the Mercury are going to contribute, and the Liberty defense is actually pretty solid. But then again, the Mercury play no defense and the Liberty offense is pretty stellar.
Yeah, I would probably, you talked about live for the spread, which might be a good call. I would probably look at that with the total as well, because I do sort of feel like this is a little bit of an under game, in a sense that I think when you see Liberty get into garbage time games, that fourth quarter gets real ugly. And I think we saw it earlier in the second game of the year when they destroyed the Fever, and they scored like 100 points in the first three quarters, and they scored like 7 points in the fourth quarter or whatever it was. A little bit of that type of deal happened the other day in their last game against the Storm. Mm-hmm. Storm actually won the second half. Liberty dominated the first half. So I would probably look for a live halftime under rather than a full game under pregame at this point, because I think you could see a really high scoring first half. Liberty just sort of flexing on them and then maybe chill out at the end.
Yeah, I'm with you completely on that one. And these ones are just hard to bet because we're looking at, you know, a top two team versus a last place team. So definitely more of a live situation for me. Before we move to the next game, though, Brittany Griner, first basket. Oh,
yes.
She missed the layup on... I played this finally. I finally played this. I got it at plus 400 or plus 425. Can't remember. And she gets the first shot. She misses it. Mariah Jefferson ends up getting the first bucket for them or of the game. Should we keep betting it here where she actually has some competition for that tip-off?
We should, in my opinion. This is going to be probably one of the tougher games for her to get it because, like you said, Jonquil Jones, one of the best at winning jump balls other than Brittany Griner in the league, and also, obviously, the Liberty are just a lot better on both sides of the ball. So you could easily see a situation where they force a miss again and then go score on the other end. But to me, like, this is an every game bet. It, like, matchup proof, doesn't matter. Brittany Griner hasn't lost a jump ball this year. So even against the next tier, she hasn't lost one, period. She has
maybe
the
you
most...
get better odds on this one, too.
Yeah, right. I hope so. If you get plus 500 again, I mean, I usually take this down to like plus 250, plus 300. Maybe in this one, I would stay away at plus 300. But if we get into plus 400s, I still think you have to take it. Because when she doesn't hit, it's because she got the first look and just missed, like what happened to you the other day. Like, she's still getting the opportunity, whether it hits or not. It's just a matter of whether she makes the shot. So I would take it anything in the 400s.
Anybody on the New York Liberty you would look for first basket?
I would think about Jonquil Jones. Yeah, you know, Brianna Stewart's usually, her odds are short enough that I would probably stay away. Jonquil would be a good look. And possibly Benaija Laney. They run offense to her early more than they do maybe the rest of the game. So one of those little, like, put $5 on it if it's plus 1,100 or something. Don't, like, go big. It's one of those fun little baby bet long shots. But, those are the two that I like the most on the Liberty.
It's a quick release, too. You get it done right at the start of the game. You can move on with your other bets.
Yep.
The Indiana Fever at the Minnesota Lynx. That's the next game we're looking at here. Don't have the numbers, as we said, but I'm saying Lynx favored here. -2.5 is what I've made the line. What do you think?
Yeah, I think these two teams are pretty close. So whoever's home in this matchup would have to be favored. So I agree. In Minnesota, Lynx have to be favored in this one. I do think the Fever are probably a little bit of a better team. If it were neutral court, I would probably say maybe Fever -1, -1.5 on a neutral court. So I think, yeah, if you get Lynx -2, that sounds about right. If they make it a pick 'em or the Lynx are underdogs somehow, I think you have to take them. But I probably wouldn't take them anywhere past like -1.5.
The Lynx have covered 4 of their last 5. And Diamond Miller is back, and it looks good. I'm cautiously optimistic that they can continue to cover for a little stretch here. So I don't know. And are you concerned about the Fever? Because it does seem like they've had a couple hiccups as of late.
They have. You know, the biggest thing I'm concerned about is like this is 2 games in a row now that they haven't really been able to get Aaliyah Boston going, single digits and scoring.
From very different teams.
Exactly.
Against the Mercury and against the Sky. So
yeah. And you know, the Mercury, she just got in foul trouble because you're going against Brittany Griner. You can kind of write it off. That's not the case against the Sky. That hasn't been the case in any of her 3 games against the Sky. She dominated the Sky the first 2 times they played. So it's a little bit baffling that the Fever haven't found ways lately to get her the ball more. I would like to think that they figure out, you know, we just lost twice in a row and Aaliyah Boston didn't score very much in any of those games. Like, maybe these things are correlated. We should feed her and maybe we'll start winning. But I don't know. It's tough to read. So I would probably, if we're talking props, I'd probably stay away from Aaliyah Boston props because I have no idea whether they're going to feed her or not.
For the time being.
Yeah, we got to read it and feel it out. But you mentioned Diamond Miller. That's a prop I would love. Her overs have been great. She did not have any rust coming off that injury.
Didn't miss a beat, no. which has been great for my fantasy. By the way, Calvin, do a little humble brag now. Tell people how you're doing in fantasy, because I can't, because I'm doing horribly.
I was going to ask. I'm glad I didn't. How are you doing?
I got my first win.
I don't know your record.
Dano and I played each other last week. We were both 0-5, so I texted him in the start of the week and I said, the good news is one of us will have our first win this week. So I did win. But
there you go. Hey, there's still time to turn the season around. I don't remember how many wins I have. I have one loss. How many weeks have we played? Something in one. 4-1.
That's not a humble brag, Calvin. I don't remember how many wins I have.
I just remember the losses. Losses stick with me, you know? It's like, makes me hungry. It makes me try harder the next week.
Yeah, but Calvin's crushing it in fantasy and also in betting. So that's impressive, because I do think that I've been focusing more of my energy there to the points where I'm forgetting to set my lineups. Basketball's a lot. It's a lot to set. And also lots of injuries that I swear. Yeah. Like, I've had Diamond Miller, Mariah Jefferson, Natasha Cloud miss some games at one point. I feel like every day I'm like, who's in, who's out with my freaking lineup. But I'm going to get it together. And I want to go back now to the Fever and the Lynx, because I was looking up this stat while we were chatting too. I know that the Lynx have actually done pretty well at defending in the paint. And you were talking about how the Fever need to start feeding Aaliyah Boston again. But the Lynx actually a category that they're a top four in. They're fourth in opponent points in the paint. So is this maybe not a good spot again? So that's us speaking again to maybe not touching that Aaliyah Boston prop. And I also think that the Lynx can do this again. I think if this is anything under 3, I can bet the Lynx at home here. 3.5 starts getting a little more dicey for me.
Yeah, I that's a cutoff for me in a lot of games, just because I love getting when you have the within +2.5 or -2.5, you sort of guard yourself against, or really if it's +3 to -3, you sort of guard yourself against those buzzer beaters, right? Like if it's a close down of the wire game, last second, if you're within one possession, like you always got a shot. But yeah, the Lynx, they do guard the paint well and they don't guard the three well. So FanDuel has been giving us threes props lately on some players. I think if you get any threes props on Fever players, they might give you Kelsey Mitchell or I don't know who else. I would look at some over. The Lynx actually are allowing the highest 3-point rate of any team in WNBA history right now. So I think the teams are launching against them because they guard the paint so well and pack it in. They just let people fire away from three. So that could be something to look at in this game too.
Well, another reason for the Fever to feed Aaliyah and spread the floor a little bit so that those threes have even more room than they need. I also think we could see this game go over, but it depends obviously on the total. I'm thinking the total will be around 162.5. Does that sound way too low based on what we've seen from these two teams lately?
No, I was thinking in the low 160s too, and I wasn't really sure where to go with this one. I was thinking I might stay away from it, but if Danielle's on the over, I'm on the over.
Oh, geez. Danielle never bets over, so this is tentative. We'll see what the line ends up being.
I ride with Danielle, so if you're on it, I'm on it.
If we have a 162 or 161, I can get in on an over for sure here with the Fever and the Lynx. And also, again, before we move on to the next game, is there any kind of rookie of the year? I mean, it's Aaliyah Boston, right? It's Aaliyah Boston's to lose at this point. But we're getting Aaliyah Boston versus Diamond Miller, who Diamond Miller was the second option in this category.
Yeah, it's definitely Aaliyah Boston's to lose. But if you look at the last week, it's gone from like 99.9% to like 95% maybe, because Aaliyah Boston, like we said, hasn't really gotten going 2 straight games, and Diamond Miller has been showing up. And if there's any remote chance that someone steals it from Aaliyah Boston, it's going to be Diamond Miller having to continue to play like she has been coming off that injury, and the Fever continuing to, for some reason, ignore Aaliyah Boston. If those two things happen, there's a chance. There's a chance. Yeah.
I had to bring up the storylines just so people know what to look for in this game. And I do think that, unfortunately, because the Lynx are such a bottom-tier team, that works against them, and the Fever have kind of taken this, it looks like, this big step forward. Like you said, if they continue to not feed her, that's going to be an issue. But I think that the Fever are going to have the better storyline for it as well. So Aaliyah Boston, hers to lose, still looking like 95% her award. But we can move on now. Dallas Wings at the Las Vegas Aces. This is the first time these two teams are playing this year. The Wings are such a messy team to me. They're so messy. They're so hard to bet. And they've seen 4 unders in their last 5 games. And this is a team that we love to bet overs on because they're all offense, all gas, very little breaks. The Aces are at home. -10.5, is that too much? Is that not believing in Dallas enough?
If it's -10.5, I am smashing the Aces pretty
hard. You're smashing. Okay, what would you make this line?
I will say that. I think this needs to be at least -15. I don't think Granted.
You know, I almost put this in single digits. Wow, it's 15. Okay.
Granted, though, to your credit or in your defense, we are talking about Road Dogg Dallas. And Dallas is the best team over the last three seasons by far as road underdogs. So maybe if we get 15, maybe I need to take Dallas. Because I think
you need 15 to take Dallas, though.
I think so. The way the Aces are playing, they just beat the Liberty by more than that. They just beat the Sun by more than that. Mm-hmm. They've struggled with the Fever this year. It's weird how teams match up well or poorly with each other. We talk about the Fever struggling with the Mercury, and yet
hanging
with the Aces multiple times. So makes sense. But outside of that, the Aces, it just doesn't feel like anyone's really close. And at home, I mean, you're getting 3 points right there. So if that's 10, you're saying 7 on a neutral court. I feel like the Aces were just favored by 11.5 over the Sun the other day. So to me, it's got to be, even without Bree Jones, the Sun are a better team than the Wings. So to me, it has to be higher than 11.5. If you're making 11.5 against Connecticut, and the Aces covered it. The Aces covered it 11.5 against Connecticut too. So I think it's got to be higher than that against Dallas.
The Aces are just so good that it makes it impossible to make these lines anything below double digits, first of all. And then it's really like, are we talking 10 or are we talking 15 pretty much with this team? That's what we're looking at. I was just looking back to last season for fun to see how these played out. And in Las Vegas, the Aces won by 6 and they did not cover as 8-point favorites. And then the other two times they were in Dallas and those were much closer games. So I don't know. It really depends on how Dallas is shooting. That's why Dallas is so messy to me and so hard to bet, because it lives and dies by how their offense is looking.
They really are an inconsistent team and hard to figure out. So this might be another good one to live, because I think you're going to see a lot of runs. You could see the Aces open up like an 18-2 lead and then Dallas win the rest of the game, you know, or vice versa. You could say Dallas win the first quarter somehow and then the Aces end up winning by 25. I don't know, but I think you're going to see a lot of ups and downs in this game. So if you feel like one team has been on a run for 5 minutes or so, maybe just live bet the other team. Maybe see if you can get both of them, get a middle.
Yeah. What about the total? Do you think we'll see an over in this one? Because again, we've seen 4 unders in the last 5 Dallas games. They've been all kind of different ranges, 165, even closer to 170. I imagine because it's an Aces game, we'll see 168.5 or higher on this total, which is, you know, I could look to an over there. If we're in the 170s, that's harder.
Yeah, Dallas has had 4 out of 5 unders, but it's still just feel like an over team, right? I mean, they played the Mystics last game, even without some of the Mystics pieces. The Mystics are still going to turn that into an undery type of game. And both teams missed a ton of threes, which isn't going to happen every game. I think if this is in the 160s, I think it's got to be in the 170s. I think I'd take the over if it's in the 160s, but I would probably look even more towards the first half over. It's been a trend across the league. I think a lot of people have talked about it, you know, it's especially in the last couple weeks, but even more so for Aces home games. How many 8 home games have the Aces played? There's something in 0 on first half overs. 9-0, 8-0, whatever it is.
I think they've played 9 games. Yeah, sounds right.
9 games. So they're 9-0 on first half overs at home. So I would probably ride that until the wheels fall off.
Yeah, it's a really great note that we have seen really high scoring first halves pretty much across the league, but especially with these obviously prolific offenses like the Aces. I think live bet it. It's unfortunate. It's like the Liberty game. It's like it's just these giant spreads. Maybe look for a live opportunity. And if we're in the 160s, maybe we look towards an over, which I hate. I hate betting overs the way that most people hate betting unders. And yet it seems like this is all we're talking about. So really hoping for literal fireworks here. The Atlanta Dream are at the Sparks, speaking of fireworks. And the total, I'm guessing, is going to be around the 164.5. But I have this spread at Sparks -1.5. Should the Sparks be favored at home?
I think it depends on if Jordan Canada plays, number one. Yes. She was questionable for the last game. Ended up being ruled out. That was a tough blow. Dream closed at 4.5, I want to say, in that game. That was in Atlanta. They just played each other the other day in Atlanta. So obviously you flip home court, you're moving several points for that. But Atlanta also dominated that game, dominated.
And the Sparks look bad right now.
They do. And, you know, somehow the Sparks still find ways to score points no matter who's on the court. They've had more injuries by far than anyone in the league. They still, you know, sometimes you think like No one's in the lineup. Let's take the team total under. Still keep hitting their team total overs, but they're not playing any defense. So to me, yeah, I would probably look for an over if we get in the mid-160s again, just like we saw the other day. Yeah. Easily cleared 180. And I would probably look to bet the Dream if they're underdogs. I think this one should be closer to Dream minus 1.5. Just based up, although if Jordan Canada plays, maybe more like a pick'em, because again, it is home court and she's a big deal for on both sides for the Sparks.
Yeah. The Sparks just really, really, really struggling lately. It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've covered 2 of their last 8 and they've won those games as well. So if they're not winning, they're not covering right now. And like you said, we've seen different combinations on the floor. We're also seeing players last minute be out. Like, I think Shanae was out last minute the other day, and that was hard to factor in, obviously, with that news coming at that time. Jordan Canada left the game, as you mentioned before, so that's what you really have to keep an eye on for this one, as you mentioned. I like the Dream here, I think, if they're getting points with or without Jordan Canada.
Yeah, if they're getting points.
I don't back the Dream often.
No. The Dream are one of those teams that's either, it's like Dallas. It's In a very different way, but, you know, they can go cover by 20 and look like one day that they might even be able to compete with the top of the – like they beat the Liberty, right? And then the next day they can go lose to the bottom of the league. So who knows? But I think you have to bet them if they're underdogs.
Yeah. What do you think about their defense? I know that Dano has strong opinions about their defense.
It's not good.
It's not,
not a good defense.
Do you think it exists? Because I don't see it. I don't see it.
No.
It's not there. It's not there. And honestly, the Sparks defense has taken a little bump forward from last season. So at least there's that. But
it's the Kurt Miller bump.
Yeah, it's the Kurt Miller bump. Exactly. He raised the curve a little bit for them. But I think if the Dream are getting points here, I'm into it. Otherwise, I'll look for a live opportunity because I do think this is a game that could go back and forth and you might actually get some opportunities.
Yeah, no, I'm with that as well. Dream as underdogs, if we get it. And
first baskets?
Over.
Any first baskets? For any of the other games.
For any of the other games. Let's see. Okay, you have this game. We already talked about Phoenix, New York. We have Indiana, Minnesota. And what's the game that I'm already forgetting now?
Wings and Aces.
Wings and Aces. That one, definitely got to look at Asia. And that one, I would
Asia,
say
of course.
Asia is the second best first basket player in the league behind Brittany Griner. Both. She's actually, you know, weirdly, Asia was like 40% on jump balls last year for some reason, which surprised me. But this year she's like 75%. So she, I don't know if she just started trying this year or what, but she is winning jump balls now. And she's also one of those
Someone
players.
Someone told her that stat. They said Calvin said that you're only hitting 40%.
Yeah, she took it personally, apparently. Good for her. And she's also one of those players who they go to early, not quite as often as BG, but definitely sort of an established the post type of deal where they're looking at Asia way more often than anyone else in the first 30 seconds, first
Candace
minute of the
last
games.
It
was
Candace.
Got the
first it
was
bucket
Candace.
Last game. Yeah.
Asia and BG both have cashed this 5 times this year, which is tied for the league lead. Obviously, BG has done that despite missing, what, 2 or 3 games with injury. She's still tied for the league lead in this. Asia's played every game and is tied with her. So those are two that I kind of just, if I see 400 or better, I'm probably just hitting it.
Yeah, and we've seen that lately. All right, Calvin, before I let you go, we have to do win of the week. Do you have a win of the week? Because I think it's your shirt. If people can't, if you're listening on the podcast, he has a great shirt on today. It's all kinds of fast food and burgers and fries, and it's making me hungry. But what is your win of the week?
Well, we're recording this on July 4th, so I had to wear my burger shirt.
What's to justify it?
This is
just, I don't just wear my burger shirt whenever. It's for a holiday.
it's intentional. You know, Danielle, you know me. Win of the week. We talked about our travels a little bit. Went to Door County in Wisconsin, which is the little thumb thing that sticks out into, into Lake Michigan. It's like, it's a peninsula or whatever you call that. Beaches on both sides. Had a lot of fun. We did a fish boil. I've never done that. That was a highly recommend. If anyone is ever in Door County, go do the fish boil at the old post office. It's a restaurant. It's not a post office, but it's called the old post office. And they have like a big pot where they just throw a bunch of fish that they just caught, like literally the freshest fish, just throw it in this pot for like 100 people, boil it. It sounds weird, is really good. I promise.
No, it sounds good.
Does it sound good? Well, good. Go do it. If you're in Door County, go do it. That was my win. The whole trip was a win, but that like specific meal, that specific experience was my number one win of the week.
See, I like when people's win of the weeks include food because that's speaking my language. And I also like that you said the old post office is not a post office, it's a restaurant, because that's my kind of thing too. I was in this small town up by the lake that I go to with my family, and it just puts things in perspective, and it's nice to just slow down a beat. And so that was my win of the week, is just getting to slow down and reconnect with everything. That's kind of the point of vacation, I think. So that was good. I hope other people are getting vacations this summer and are taking some time to enjoy themselves. We all can soon, because we're going to have the All-Star break. But before we do, we'll have Calvin Wetzel back on. So thank you, Calvin, for coming on today with us again.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
All right, we'll be back here to preview the Friday game. So we'll see you then.